There will be no use of our overhead PowerPoint tonight. And in hopes that we come to have a better grasp of the lesson that we're about to focus on tonight, we want to talk about using our five senses. Yes, the ones that we are all able to have and function with every day in our lives. Our five senses give us some astonishing capabilities. We can see a candle's flame 30 miles away on a dark, clear night and smell a single drop of perfume diffused in a three-room apartment. We can taste 0.04 of an ounce of table salt in 530 quarts of water. Our sense of touch can detect a pressure that depresses the skin at about 4 times 10 to the negative 4 of an inch on the face, or our fingertips, for that matter. We can tell where a sound is coming from even when it arrives at 1 year at 0.003 seconds before arriving at the other ear. Think about those things. Remarkable capabilities that we have by our senses that God has given to you and I. Though our five senses in and of themselves are remarkable in the way we function daily in our lives, behind each is a more important duty that needs to be fulfilled. Our five senses are vital to life. Without one or the other, it makes life a lot more difficult. For example, consider a person that is blind. He no longer has that sense, and now he has to rely twice as much on his sense of touch and smell. I want you to open your Bibles with me to 1 John chapter 1. That is where we'll begin tonight. 1 John chapter 1. And we're going to be looking at all these five senses and applying a spiritual aspect to each of them as to how we can use our senses to become better persons spiritually in our lives. As important as it is to have our senses physically in this world to function and to remain alive, it is much more important to use them to get to the eternal life. The life that will never, ever fade away. The life where there will be no pain, no sorrow, no more debt. The life where we will reign with Christ forever in glory, in a place where we long to be, where we long to rest. And so in 1 John chapter 1, this is what John says in verse 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. I want you to think about those three verses. John takes all the senses there and he intertwines them with the reality that we need to put them in spiritual effect. What they witnessed, what they saw, what they felt, what they touched, Jesus Christ, the Word of Life. That which was from the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1. Jesus was there with God the Father at creation. And in so doing, John says that we need to take these things as they have done them. And they testified and proclaimed to you what was eternal life. So here we see how important it is for us to have our senses, not only from a physical standpoint, but more importantly from a spiritual standpoint. Let's talk about seeing for a little bit. There are some questions that might be asked where the answer is almost always no. No matter who is asking it or what is the situation. One example of that question might be, are you blind? Now, unless you are someone who for medical reasons has no sight, or you are using exaggeration to make a comment on your fuzzy vision, the answer to this question will always be no. If you go and visit an eye doctor and he says, are you blind? You'll say, no, my vision is a little off, but I can see you standing right there. If you are an umpire at a Little League baseball game and you rung up the cleanup hitter on a corner pitch and very sweetly from about four rows up, the father asks you, are you blind, sir? You would look at him in a way that would say, no. Now sit down. Maybe you're studying the Bible with someone and you are arguing about some doctrinal issue. And they're looking at the page saying, are you blind? And you say, no, I see it right here. I got it in front of me. So it would seem natural then that if Jesus was to walk through those doors in the back there right now, and he started performing supernatural miracles and signs and wonders to prove that he is the Son of God, and he walks up to you and he puts his hand on your shoulder and asks you, child, are you blind? You would more than likely say, Lord, I see you. I am not blind. No is just the obvious and almost absolute answer to a question about blindness. But consider this important factor. What did Jesus told you? It would have been better for you to say you were blind. Turn with me to John chapter 9. In John chapter 9, there are two different people, two different characters, an actual blind man and a group of people called the Pharisees, a sect of the Jews. We are introduced to a miracle that Jesus performs on this blind man that has a spiritual aspect to it that is much more important than him just being healed to see again. In John chapter 9, verse 1, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned that this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Notice what Jesus is saying there. He didn't sin, not because he has a lack of one sense or a lack of that capability of seeing means everything is wrong. But in other words, he's essentially saying the spiritual aspect of that is more important. Verse 4, we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one will work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world, Jesus says. When he had said this, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and applied the clay to his eyes. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, is not this the one who used to sit and beg? Others were saying, this is he. Still others were saying, no, but he is one like him. And he kept saying, I am the one. So they were saying to him, how then were your eyes open? And he said, the one called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, went away, and I washed and received sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. Two things. The first one is, Jesus had the power and the capability of healing anybody, physically. But that's not what his purpose was. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, Luke makes it very clear that Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. I was blind, but now I see. And sometimes there's a song that I think I've led it once here, but sometimes very, very important to consider. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. To reach out and touch him and say that we love him. And that's not saying open our physical eyes because we're blind. Saying open your heart because you're blind in there. See, when sin enters your life, it separates you from God and you have become blind to the things of Christ. You are no longer somebody that is seeing, but you are blind. And so if Jesus were to ask you, are you blind? What would you say right now? If you were right there in the back, what would your response be? Where do you stand with that? I want us to look in chapter 9, look in verse 39. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, we're not blind too, are we? You know, trying to be ironic about it. Trying to ask a smart question. And Jesus said this, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say we see, your sin remains. Trying to justify themselves. And Jesus has already saw what is in their heart, what is in their minds. And he says, if you said that you were blind, you would have no sin. If you admitted that you were in sin, then I would have saved you. I would have delivered you from the lack of that capability that you do not have. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus says, the blind shall lead the blind, and a boat shall fall into the ditch. The Pharisees were blind. They didn't want to see the things that Jesus taught. They didn't want to see the spiritual aspect of their lives that they needed to focus on. And so I ask you, are you seeing or are you blind? Are you asking Jesus to open your hearts and open your eyes so that you might see the things that are important? Or have you shut them and are you blind to the things that he wants you to know? How are we using our sense of seeing? Are we opening the scriptures? Are we carefully observing the things that we need to be doing in our lives? Or do we read a verse, go on to the other, without a lack of understanding what needs to be done? Are we blind to the message that is being said? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And so the statement can be said about all the different senses. And if the question was asked, are you deaf? Are you lack of hearing? And you could hear very well, one would say, absolutely not. I am totally fine. I can hear everything clearly. Sometimes we make a distinction between hearing and listening. One person might hear something, and it comes in here and goes out through the other ear. They did not soak that in. They did not take in what they should have took in from the first place. And so in Hebrews chapter 5, the Christians there that the Hebrew writer is writing to have a problem. It says that in verse 12, for by though this time you ought to have been teachers, you had need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Everyone who partakes only of the milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. I want you to look at that. Look at those three verses. Something was wrong. They were not doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were not going from level A to level B to level C. They became Christians and they were stagnant. They stayed at one flat point. And this writer is emphasizing the need for them to grow before they fall away. Where's the problem? Verse 11. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Were they physically not hearing? No. They could hear. They just closed their minds and their hearts to the things that they needed to take in. How many times do we do that to Christ? Sometimes he wants to reach out to you. Sometimes we want to reach out to each other, but we close our hearing because we don't want to hear that. Look in Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, verse 3. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David. You know how important hearing is? Because if you don't have the sense of hearing, and if you're not using it in the right way, then you won't have faith. That's how important hearing is. Because Paul says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know how many people proclaim to hear the word of God out there and they're lost? Because they're closed their minds and their hearts. They're not really hearing. They're just living. They're just existing for the moment. Jesus says, incline your ear and come listen to me so that you might have life. So that you might live. As important as it is to have our physical sense of seeing and hearing, if we close that off in a spiritual sense to the words that Jesus Christ has delivered to us, and if we close it off to one another, brethren, we will be separated. We will be lost. We would be in a disaster, in a mess. How else could we figure out things? How else could we have faith? How else can we tell others of the message if we ourselves don't know what's going on? Think about it. Seeing and hearing goes together. In a physical sense, when we go to the doctor, normally all these things in here are connected in some way or the other. And sometimes if one goes wrong, the other one goes wrong. The same thing can be said in a spiritual sense. If we don't open our eyes, if we don't open our ears, they won't go together. They won't flow together. We need to combine our senses to the work of the Lord. Combine them to learn the things that have been delivered unto us from the divine Christ. And in Jude verse 3, chapter 1 and verse 3, Jude says that you may contend for the faith which was once delivered for all. How do you do that? Incline your ear to my words. Open your ears to my understanding so that you may live and that you may have life. Well, what about touch? How is touch going to play a part of this? Well, if one is blind, physically, think about it. The sense that he relies the most on, more than anything else, is a sense of touch. Feeling things. Trying to figure his way around things now. Sometimes you see them with a walking stick. Sometimes you have the dogs that are trained nowadays to lead that person, but they still have their sense of touch. They need to touch and feel things, because without your sense of touch, you can put your hand on a stove, you can put your hand on a hot plate, your hand can go anywhere, and you can get seriously injured or hurt. That will also cost you another part of who you are and what you do in your daily life with functions. So how does this impact us in a spiritual sense? Well, I'll say this, that as Christians, we need to rely on one another very much like a blind man tends to rely on someone else to lead him around. We need to rely on Christ more than anything else. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him. Jesus already has his arm extended to us, and he wants the other half to come from us. And how is it that we do that? Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. A lot of touch has to do with our feelings, our sense of feeling this or feeling that, our responding to stimuli in our environment. And so Paul says in Colossians 3, verse 5, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. Notice he says you once walked. And in them you also, he says, now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its practices and have put on the new self with its being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Just like anything else, our senses can be used for good and bad. We touch things and we feel things, and sometimes they feel good. If you're shopping for a bed, if you're shopping for something comfortable, you feel it. If it's soft enough, is it hard enough, is it just fine? Our feeling and our sensation of touching something creates in us an emotion, a sense of feeling great that otherwise we would not have. And so what Paul is saying here, leave these things behind that you touched and you walked in and you felt that led you away from Christ, and I want you to do this. Verse 12, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so you should also. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Listen to this. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Paul will later say in verse 23, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than unto men. So in your daily life, when you are working, when you are putting your feeling of touch, when you are putting your sensation of going around and walking around, think about God. What would God have me to do here? Am I living a life that Paul says I need to put aside, or am I living the right life, the one that does not have all those things in there that separates me from my God? Am I relying on someone that will guide me to the right places? And sometimes we are weak, sometimes we fall and we need to get up, and sometimes we need to reach out and grab that helping hand from somebody. Use your sense of touch where it is most needed. With Christ and with your brethren. And I say, wake up and smell the coffee. Sometimes we need a fresh perspective on things. Sometimes we need to escape the suffocation and the things in this world that choke us till we no longer can breathe. Sometimes we need to escape and smell and open our sinuses again. How do we do that? By engaging and indulging in the Word of God. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Goes up to God like a fragrant aroma. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16, that the Christians who are supposed to be walking in the right way, we to the world are that sweet-smelling aroma. In other words, we attract that which is supposed to be attracted. Just as you are the light of the world, and just as you are the salt of the earth, and there is that taste and that sense of sight, and just as you lead somebody that is blind and that sense of touch is there, so much so as you walk in the love which God has given to us on behalf of His Son, it says He is a fragrant aroma, and so should you be too. That people would come to you and want to be like you, want to be like Christ, be imitators of Him. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. In the Old Testament, they would often offer up incenses to God, a sweet-smelling aroma. Sometimes in our homes, we have scented candles burning that makes the place seem a lot fresher, a lot better, sometimes new, a fresh perspective on things. Sometimes we need to just step aside from the world and step into the realm of God. What would He have us to do? I mentioned several weeks ago about the example of the diving bell spider, the only species of the spiders in the world that lives underwater. And in order for him to be able to breathe and to take in that air properly while he's living there, he rises up to the surface to get a fresh perspective, to escape the water for a little bit and breathe and smell the things that are above the surface of the water. And in Colossians 3, as Paul says in verses 1 and 2, if then you were raised with Christ, seek then those things which are above. That is our escape. That is our sense of smell. Getting away from the world, going to God, being alone with Him, having that one-on-one relationship with God. Even so, as John said in 1 John chapter 1, that we have proclaimed to you that which is eternal life. Wake up and smell the coffee. In the morning when we wake up, and those of us that have the coffee brewing, it lights up the entire home. I mean, the scent is amazing. Just as a perfume drop that creates in us that sense of great comfort and a great sense of this is good, even so should we feel when we turn to God, as He is our sweet-smelling aroma. And in turn, should we be to other people in the world so that they can be lit up by that. And they can be attracted by that. And our sense of taste. Well, there's a lot of passages that I can use to talk about our sense of taste. We could talk about Jesus being the bread of life. We can talk about the fact that we come together and partake of the Lord's Supper every Sunday. And as a result, when tasting that and eating that, we have a reminder of Jesus being the ultimate sacrifice that came and died for our sins. We could talk about those things. But in Psalm chapter 19, verses 7 to 10, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are true, and they are righteous altogether. In verse 10, he says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. God's word is sweet. It tastes great to us. A lot of us like food. I like food. Sometimes we might say food is life. And that's true. We cannot live for a long time without taking in the right kinds of food, right nutrients. And so, as Jesus says in Matthew 5 on the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Why? Matthew 4. As Satan comes to tempt Jesus in the wilderness, and Jesus has been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, the tempter says to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones should become bread. Jesus says this, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds, that which from the mouth of God. In Psalm 119, verses 103 and 104, How sweet are your words to my taste, yet sweeter than the honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Take all your five senses and don't use them in your spiritual life and see what happens. I dare you to cut at least one of them out and you'll see what happens. You will fall so quickly and so hard that you will not know what hit you. That is how people become lost. That is how they turn away into the world. They have forgotten to use their senses where it is most important in their spiritual lives. In Psalm chapter 115, Psalm 115, we'll start reading in verse 3. But our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but they cannot feel. And they have feet, but they cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throat. Those who make them will become like them, everyone who trusts in them. You turn away from God, you have nothing. You turn away from the Lord, you have become as an idol. Nothing. They can't talk, they can't see, they can't hear, they can't smell, they can't feel, they can't walk. But with God, we can have life. In him we move and we have our being. And so, as many of us as has been blessed with that sense of touch, smell, taste, hear, and sight, how are you using your senses in your life? Now, I'm not saying that you need to digress from a physical standpoint. I don't want you to die. But you increase where it is more profitable. The Lord will return one day, and he will judge each and every one of us according to what we've done. We all have an account opened, and it will be closed one day. Are we making the right deposits into that account? Or are we withdrawing, taking and taking till it's just empty and broke and there is no more left? Jesus is the giver of all things and the giver of life. But it's only through him that we can get to heaven and have an eternal life. And so as important as our senses are to this life, and it is vital, so much more should we consider the senses in a spiritual sense. Evil will never prevail in our lives if we trust in God. We need to be relentless and pursue the things which are profitable to us spiritually, that will last forever. Give up those things which are not important in your life. Take them away. If they are distracting to you, put them aside. If you need to get that fresh perspective on things, open God's Word. All things are here that makes things new. And in that vision, in Revelation chapter 21, where John says, and he describes the words of God, "Behold, I make all things new. All things will be made new." And by the time that we get there, we won't need our senses anymore. So use them in the right way, starting now, to make all the changes that is necessary. And if you are here today, right now, and that change can start tonight, then you need to make that. If you're not a Christian, if you've not been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, you need to do that. Because without that, you cannot have a hope of eternal life. And brethren and friends, by all means, if in this life we only have hope, we are of all men to be the most pitied. Consider what is more important to you. And come now as we stand and as we sing.
Salvation for whosoever will. Please be seated.